All right. My name's Mark, or Mookie, if you prefer. Either one will do. From the Independent 88.5 FM here in Southern California. It's the 88.5 Live at Home series, and Lael Neal is joining us today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So our first introduction to your music came recently. Somebody floated us the song Blue Vein. And I listened to it for the first time, and then I listened to it five times in a row after that. It was like nothing I had ever heard before, certainly nothing like we're playing on the radio right now. And actually, a listener of the radio station hit us up on social media the other day and said, you know what, this sounds a lot like the Velvet Underground meets Mazzy Star.
Whoa. And,
yeah, and I would have never sort of pinned that myself, but I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. So our listeners are familiar with the song Blue Vein. We've been playing a few weeks now. I know you've been getting a lot of congratulatory comments, but again, congratulations on the new record, Acquainted with Night. The cool thing about these interviews is we get to see how artists live, their home studios or bedrooms or front porches. Where are you right now?
That's a good question. I'm actually in my garden shed. And hopefully my connection is okay out here. Did I just cut out?
No, I got you.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I'm kind of in this storage garden shed just outside of a little bunkhouse that I live on now on my family's farm in Virginia. So
Virginia to Los Angeles, back to Virginia. Initially, the move to LA, was that basically to pursue music?
Kind of by default. I wound up in San Francisco first, right after college, because I had fallen in love with a musician up there. And so that's kind of what brought me to the West Coast. And I didn't even really, well, I wasn't really even thinking about making music, but or making it a career in music. I'd been playing for a while, but seeing his kind of lifestyle, kind of a bohemian, actually he lived in a garden shed. So it was like this tiny little space that we shared. And
very glamorous.
No, it was not glamorous, but it was romantic. I guess that's kind of what the appeal was to me. And he was free. And I kind of saw that lifestyle opportunity opening up for me. And I thought that was kind of the best way to be independent and free.
Mm-hmm. So what came first for you? Was it poetry, creative writing? Did you jump right into writing songs immediately?
No, yeah, it started with creative writing and poetry. And I studied that in college. So my major was English literature and environmental studies. So I was reading a lot of like nature writing and writing poetry and kind of living in the written word realm. But I, all along, I'd been playing music and learning songs. And so I kind of eventually realized I wasn't really a standalone, strong enough poet for the written word to be enough. And realized that kind of marrying it with sound was kind of what was going to be the magic alchemy for me.
I think I read somewhere, and you've been getting a lot of great write-ups for the new record. I think somewhere it was written that you felt like you would be able to reach more people if you put your poetry to music.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Who reads poetry anymore, yeah. Type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of trying to make myself read poetry again, because it's kind of tedious and you have to be really focused. So it's a good practice, but yeah, I don't know that many people who are mm-hmm. reading it. Maybe, yeah. I'm hanging out with the wrong people.
Almost like music. You know, if you're not sort of active listening, then it's just sort of wallpaper, you know.
Yeah.
But with poetry, you have to delve into it. And like you said, really focus. Take us back to your formative years, if you don't mind. What sort of music was generally around you while you were growing up?
Well, my parents were really into the Grateful Dead. I guess my dad more. So we were kind of, my brother and I were exposed to live music really early on, from when we were babies. And so it was everything from kind of that realm to the bluegrass music that was kind of in the surrounding area, really rooted here. So that was a really cool experience to be exposed to kind of people who had grown up playing in church or kind of for every reason except to be in an industry with music. Mm. And so there was a really beautiful pureness to that kind of realm of music I was exposed to. And then I was given a CD when I was 13 by my uncle, two CDs. One was Joni Mitchell's Blue and the other was Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde. And those two, when I was 13, were like, whoa, this is a whole nother thing in terms of poetry and music. And so I was really drawn into that and really felt those albums a lot.
I think that's pretty advanced as far as the music that a 13-year-old might be exposed to generally.
Yeah, I feel really grateful to my uncle. I credit him for kind of pulling me out into that realm. Yeah. But I was surprised. I am surprised looking back how much I resonated with it, because it's about, you know, romantic themes and loneliness and all these things that a 13-year-old, I don't know, shouldn't feel maybe.
That's incredible. So you did provide separately a couple performances. I think let's just rip right into, I guess, the 88.5 version of the song Blue Vein. In all its simplicity and in all its honesty. So we'll do that now, and then we'll have more of a chin wag, as the British people say. This is Lael Neal with Blue Vein on the Independent 88.5 FM.
Wind blown.
All right, there you go. We're here with Lael Neal. That was a great version of Blue Vein, similar to the recordings that we've heard so far on the new record, Acquainted with Night. There's a very lo-fi sense of that particular video that you produced for us, which is very cool. Speaking of that, it's been said that in the past, you've jumped into the studio and sort of Frankensteined a bunch of songs together with layers of production. But you felt that that necessarily wasn't really you when it came down to it, right?
Yeah, definitely. That was a, that was kind of undoing the programming that I had received that, you know, this is just the way that people make music now, because it's easy and you can get the perfect thing. And I don't know, it feels very much like how kind of modern society is now, in that we're kind of all looking for the easiest way to find the end. But then also by complicating it in a strange way, it's like, it's a pretty simple thing to sit down and perform a song. But that's kind of adding in this whole other element of like being engaged with a computer screen. I think that it does suck the life out of it. That was the only explanation I had for the way that I kind of felt after that. And not to say that there's not really cool things that are happening in that way, but I just felt that for my own music, because it is so kind of simple and stark in a way, that it made more sense to just do the live thing. And it's hard for me to let go of that in some ways, because I like perfection too. But I think that was a good practice with this album.
I'm not a musician myself, but I've tried to record a few things over the years, even just recording voiceover work for the radio station. It could be tedious and very difficult, taking numerous takes and all of that stuff. At some point, I guess you just got to trust your gut.
Yes, exactly.
I think you had referred to this as time capsule music, perhaps, whereas if you put it in a box and someone discovered this 20, 30 years from now, they probably could not pinpoint which era your music, the new record, came from, which I thought was very interesting. A couple new additions to your life. What's your relationship like with the artist Blake, or Guy Blakeslee?
Yeah, he kind of entered into my sphere, I guess, in 2019. And I had known him for a while, but in terms of working together, we kind of started having conversations over coffee about maybe the best way to capture the songs. And so he was a huge influence on, I mean, he's the one that produced the album. So he kind of was like, I have this four track and I think this is the way that you should do this. And I'm going to set it all up for you and make it as, you know, foolproof as possible so that you can just press record and play and rewind and you can do this by yourself. So that was kind of his cool gift, was that he provided this space and kind of really protected it for me and was not trying to encroach on it in any way. And then he contributes some instrumentation also to the record. And so, yeah, that was that. He's definitely the reason that it exists in this way. So I feel really lucky that kind of we had those conversations over coffee, you know.
Incredible. In Los Angeles. You guys captured lightning in a bottle, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. Another new addition to your life, you learned the Omnichord. Now, I've seen that instrument in the past. There was a local band, Gems with a J, who performed for us not too long ago. And one of the musicians, well, they're incredible, by the way.
Yeah.
One of the musicians was playing that instrument. And then while reading up on Lael Neal stuff, it's an instrument that is prominently featured in the new record. For the uninitiated, what is the Omnichord?
Yeah, it's a really interesting little instrument that was made in the 80s by Suzuki. And it's, I mean, I almost think it, I think it was based, I don't know. So I actually, I'm not the authority on the Omnicord, but I, my guess is that it was kind of created to emulate the auto harp, because it has chords laid out, and then it has this, it's an electronic strumming place, but whereas an auto harp would be, it would be with strings. So it's kind of the same layout as an auto harp, mm-hmm. and it has that big kind of full, like, I don't even know what the word for that sound is, ringing out sound. and
it's a piece of it's an electronic device, but it's got this sort of organic sound that comes out of it that you could make.
Yeah, and I really think it's just this one model that I have. I think it's like the Omnicord 200 or something. It's a very specific model, because I've heard other Omnicords and I do not like how they sound. They sound really thin and fakey to me. But this one has some kind of like magical tone in it. I think it's a children's toy. That's kind of the way that I perceive it, and that's why it was so fun to make these songs and this record with it.
You've stripped down the layers of production. It's a very minimalist sort of approach with your music, which, you know, makes the lyrics sort of shine. It's truthful. It's honest. I feel like your music is very relatable, but at the same time, not too, you know, out there where, you know, some people need to read between the lines as well, as far as what you're explaining and what you're saying in your music. Are there any other aspects in your life where you sort of cut the cord and became a minimalist, not just with music?
Yeah, definitely. That was kind of my whole intention in my life, was to live minimally. I guess that's maybe not the right way to put that, but to be a minimalist. And I think that my intention was that I could always fit everything that I owned inside my Volvo sedan, and be able to move anywhere at any time, which of course that very quickly was not what happened. But I like the minimalist aesthetic, and so it's funny that it took me so long to come to that in my music too. Mm. I mean, I've been playing stripped down shows just by myself, so I had been doing it in a way, but I kept thinking that the recorded version needed to be beefed up more, put more on it. Also, because it's just vulnerable to be on your own.
Do you think that in a perfect world, you'd be on the road for 100 days out of the year touring to support the record?
Yeah, I think so. That was kind of the slight disappointment of this year, was that I'd kind of been waiting for a long time to be on tour, to have an opportunity to do that. And so with the record coming out kind of for the first time, it would have been a good opportunity. But I think that'll happen in the, if not late this year, maybe early next year.
I hope so. Any plans to relocate back to this coast?
I definitely miss it so much. I love Los Angeles. It has like a really, really, really special place in my heart. So
I had been reading about, you know, you recording in Echo Park with the sun shining through the windows, and just sounded like sort of a magical experience.
Yeah, my whole life there was really kind of touched. I feel really fortunate to have kind of experienced it in that way, because I know a lot of people don't have that experience there. Mm.
Right. I saw some paintings online, which people can purchase along with the music on laelneal.com, and very minimalist, just like the music, it appears. Any other quarantine hobbies or any other forms of expression that you've been getting into as of late?
Painting's the main one, but I'm actually looking out the window now. I just started a garden by putting down some soil and some mulch. And so that's the first time I've ever kind of tried to make a real vegetable food garden. So that'll be my hobby this season. And we'll see how that goes. I've not really had a green thumb in the past, but I think it, approaching it as a creative hobby is pretty exciting to me.
Yeah, we've got some plants growing out there outside now. We don't live on a farm. And I know you have roosters and any other livestock or animals roaming around the territory out there in Virginia?
Yeah, we've got a big herd of cattle. It's around 200 cattle that are all about to start having babies now. So that's pretty exciting. We've got a bunch. There was actually a wild herd of pigs that ran through our field 2 days ago. And that was really shocking. And apparently that's happening more and more across the country, and they're really big pests and you don't want to have them around. So there's always wildlife, and a woodpecker ran and banged into my window and I had to kind of hold it and nurse it back to health the other day. So
incredible.
That's the excitement here.
Yeah. Any other silver linings as far as that the quarantine has brought to your life? I imagine living in solitude more or less is incredibly helpful creative wise.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can just, my days are so fluid and flexible that I can just work on things. So that's a huge gift. I mean, the gift of time that I think many of us have been given is sometimes more than money, you know? So I feel really grateful for that. And I've been here with my family. So that's been a huge gift. And I'm really close with my parents. So that's been fun.
That's phenomenal. So we do have one more song that we're going to get into. It's the title track, Acquainted with Night. I believe that this is the song featuring Guy Blakeslee is in this one, I think.
He's in Blue Vein.
I guess that's what happens when we have the separate videos. I watched them earlier, you know. Are you streaming? Are you playing vinyl at home? Are there any artists who are actively working today, putting out music that you're digging on?
I am streaming some, but I don't have internet where I live. So I'm actually like using a my friend's hotspot internet. So I haven't been listening to that much music. I listen to KUSC when I can stream it because I really love classical. But in terms of other, you know, I just listened to the Weather Station the other day and they've got a new record out. But I had never heard of her before. And I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, Weather Station's pretty good. Well, it's really nice catching up with you, and thanks for being personable and talkative. You never know what you're going to get when interviewing artists, you know. We are certainly here to support you. Again, the first time I heard Blue Vein, I listened to it 5 times in a row, and it really moved me, and it gave me the sense and the feeling that, like, wow, I get to do this for a living, and I get to go on the radio and share people's art with others. You know, when you get the feeling you have a bright, shiny new toy, or you discover a new band or a song and you just want to share it with your friends. I got to do that every day. And I got a renewed sense of gratitude after listening to Blue Vein for the first time, thinking that, wow, this is what it's all about right here. You know, it's not about playing the thumping beats on the radio, you know, being able to share people's art. It really moved me. So I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. So anything else to touch on before we kind of wrap it up and get into this performance of Acquainted with Night?
I don't think so. I don't have anything else. I'm just grateful to be kind of here in California again in some form, even if it's just through the ethers.
Well, I think we started playing your song on the local music spotlight. So no matter what, we still claim you as our own.
Yeah, please do. I'd much rather be from California than Virginia.
Awesome.
You were the night that failed to depart because I was holding on. with my